Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN. I was reading an article called The Rise of Political Violence in the U.S. Explained by Experts, and they talked to several experts, and, you know, they kind of narrowed down some of the causes. It was an interesting read, and one of the experts in this article is Dr. Eric Nisbet, professor of policy analysis and communication at Northwestern University. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So they let me boil down some of the things that they talked about. Causing political violence. Extreme polarization can make political violence more likely. The second thing, political violence is more American than we'd like to admit. Third, today's extremism didn't appear out of nowhere. Four, violence can come from a perception that people are losing their rights. And there was one last thing here, and that's violence begets violence. Violence begets violence. So talk to me, Professor Dr. Nisbet, about the first topic. And, of course, this all arises out of the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. About that extreme polarization and how it makes political violence more likely, because everyone I've talked to this week isn't shocked by it. We're shocked that it happened, but people believe that this is a part of where we are right now. So talk to me about the tribal and political identities that you made a connection between.
Right. So we have been polarized for a long time, but the problem is that we're moving beyond polarization to sectarianism, basically political sectarianism, where our political identities become all-encompassing, and that we see the world for some people through sort of a Democrat or Republican lens. They become almost mega identities. They subsume all other sort of identities as being American or other connections, social connections you might have, and our attitudes and perceptions of the world start aligning very closely with this sort of partisan lens. And when we start having that, we start seeing the other side, that political opponent, as our enemy, that we're in a struggle for, the existential struggle, and it's us versus them. And that can drive political violence.
The second point was political violence is more American than we'd like to admit. We went over this on Monday on how many presidential assassination attempts have taken place. Heck, even a Chicago mayor back in the day. And you were talking about that this is something that's been building, because Biden kept saying, this isn't us. This isn't us. But it really is us, isn't it?
Right. So, you know, political violence, yes, has been interwoven with the history of the United States from its inception. We've had various political incidents, whether assassinations or other forms of insurrection. There is something different in this moment, though, that typically political violence was sort of evenly distributed between the left and the right over a course of our history. And it wasn't as close, and it was often around a single issue or issues. You saw a lot of issues around violence around the Vietnam War, the 1960s, around civil rights struggle, et cetera. What we see now, though, is different, is that the political violence aligns with our partisan identities, with these sectarian identities I mentioned, versus being Republican or Democrat. And so people are starting to look at political violence to solve political differences based upon these coherence or party identities rather than the ballot box. And that's really scary.
Absolutely. One of the other points was violence can come from a perception that people are losing their rights. And I would think both sides believe that the other side is going to be responsible for them losing their rights or things that they value or believe in.
Right. And part of that is sort of this moral equation, is when we use sort of dehumanizing metaphors and rhetoric about the other side, when we portray the other side as immoral and trying to, as an existential threat to our side, then violence almost becomes morally justified, right? You're trying to right a wrong, and you can engage in violence against others and still feel that you are morally good, right? It's called moral disengagement, because they deserve the violence. And you saw a lot of that in January 6th, where you interview those who partook in the riot and the insurrection, attacking the Capitol building, attacking police officers. They still saw themselves as morally good people engaging in that violence because they're trying to right a wrong.
Is there any hope that there's a way out of this, or do you think this is just going to get worse and worse?
You know, we're in a momentary pause right now. There's a momentary cessation of hostilities, though. If you watch the RNC convention last night, though they toned it down, there was sometimes some of the speakers couldn't help themselves in terms of the rhetoric or the what they alluded to in terms of it might be incite violence. But and, you know, the left and the right both engage in some of this. But I think, unfortunately, no, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, we really, as a country, as citizens, as everyday people, have to take a moment to reflect and think about what type of country we want to live in and how do we reach across our political differences and deal with them in nonviolent ways.
I know you were quoted, Dr. Nisbet, as saying one of the drivers of political violence is what we call meta perceptions. Why don't you explain what that is to our audience?
Sure. So the research shows that if I'm a Democrat and I think Republicans are engaged in violence or are likely to engage in violence, I'm more likely to engage in violence myself, especially as like a self-protective, protect my group, and vice versa. Republicans have the same perception. So, you know, it's the idea of you pull a knife, I pull a gun, right? And so violence begets violence is that we perceive the other side as violent or likely to engage in violence. We are more likely to engage in violence ourselves. And so that's when the dangers of political violence becomes a self-reinforcing spiral. That was one of the dangers, January 6th, that's one of the dangers that we saw on Saturday.
And is some of the danger coming from algorithms on social media sites where people are being fed more of what they already believe? And does that escalate their thought process in, I've got to do something because this is my sign that, you know, people are behind me?
Right. So social media can play a role in amplifying especially emotional content that could be dehumanizing, incivility, toxicity, hate-type speech. It can also amplify political threats directed towards politicians. But I think we focus too much on social media and not enough on actually other sources of rhetoric that might drive political violence, especially a hyper-partisan media, how left-wing media portrays Republicans, how right-wing media portrays Democrats, as well as our political leaders and candidates and partisan groups and others on the other side. I think social media is a contributor, but I think we focus too much on that medium and not take enough responsibility thinking about how our partisan media and our political leaders and groups are actually talking about each other.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you'll come back sometime.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Eric Nisbet, Professor of Policy Analysis and Communication at Northwestern University. Kate Martell is at the Republican National Convention. She writes for The Hill. She's joining us every day at 2:35, and she comes up after Steve's News next on 720 WGN.